The controversy of sex education for young people is never very far from the news. Whether in the United States of America or Europe, the issue has become a topic of very hot debate. In many ways, I think it is but one part of a much broader picture. This is an age where sexual matters are thrown at young people in a variety of ways. Some years ago, there was some measure of restraint, some measure of reserve when it came to these matters publicly, but sadly that has long gone. We discover that we live in an age where some television shows present sexual activity for teenagers as if it was normal behaviour. In fact, some programmes, soap operas, movies, etc., are full of this kind of theme. Immodesty, immorality, wickedness and sinful sexual behaviour are the normal theme and the normal topic of the programme. Furthermore, the internet has enabled young people, and I suppose older people also, to access pornography with a click or two of a mouse. What some time ago was something that was hidden under a shelf, where people had to be ashamed to go to find it, now is within reach within people's homes. With most homes having computer and internet access, this kind of situation has become more and more of an issue. And the internet is awash with sites and material there that would corrupt the minds of young people. Furthermore, in some cases, schools teach sex education, not on a moral, marriage-based situation, but on a loose, try-it-if-you-like kind of attitude. I know those who involve themselves and advocate that kind of approach suggest this is the only way to educate, but what we find is that it's an education to sin, and young people who are not aware of these matters are suddenly introduced to them, and that not in a proper biblical or moral framework. There are numerous books and magazines also that portray sex as a free-for-all. And therefore, our young people are thrown to the wolves very often. This constant stream of material forces young people to face up to an adult issue way before the years. And the result of that has been quite horrific. Young lives that are ruined, and there are pastors all over the country who can testify to having to deal with young people who have had their lives destroyed, it seems, by this kind of behaviour. Behaviour that they were led into, thinking it was the right course, the proper way for them to go, but their lives have been ruined. There are young teenagers who become pregnant, barely adults themselves, just children in some cases themselves, young teenagers becoming pregnant and all that involves for them. Young people with all kinds of sexually transmitted diseases, and finding out in years to come that their bodies have been destroyed by their behaviour in their youth. There are numerous, countless perhaps, young people living with regrets and shame and guilt. They have listened to the temptations of the devil, they have listened to the allurements that are presented there in the world regarding sexual activity, and they've gone the way of the world, and then they live with regrets and shame and guilt. The argument was that this would liberate our young people. I suggest it's done the exact opposite. It has plunged many of them into a deeper sense of emptiness. What the devil held out as something that was fun and promising and exciting, a thrill that they would have in life, turned out to be the very opposite for them. So what can be done? What must the Church of Christ, what must the gospel preacher do in a situation like this, in circumstances like this? A number of things. We must not ignore the issues that young people are facing. These are dark times. These are days of lust and worldliness and sinfulness, and the preacher of the gospel must deal with it. We must realize that we are living in the last days, in the terrible times that are described for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we've got to deal with the issues as we face them. Silence is not really an alternative here. We can't just simply bury our heads in the sand and pretend this whole issue is going to go away. Young lives are being destroyed. We must be as watchmen upon the walls and sound an alarm so that those who are involved in this might be able to be rescued from it and saved by the grace of God. Furthermore, there needs to be a return to the clear teaching of the scriptures on sexual matters. Sexual relationships are good and proper, but only within the marriage bond. Now, that sounds old-fashioned. Yes, it is, but it's scriptural. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what we need to get back to. And we need to encourage young people to obey God. God has created them. They're accountable to God. God's ways are best for them. His commandments are good for them. And this one is no exception. We ought to recognize, too, the damage that much of what is out there is doing to our youth. the destruction, the devastation it's causing in young lives. We ought to encourage our young people to respect themselves and respect others. And of course, we must present the message of the gospel. That may seem a very simplistic approach, but it is the only approach that works. Think of it, governments have changed their policies numerous times. Why? Because their policies don't work. They attempt to cut teenage pregnancies by introducing more sex education, and that at a younger age doesn't work. The only message that will bring lasting results is the message of the gospel, and that the Ten Commandments are there to be obeyed. Christ is there to be believed upon. The gospel is there for the salvation of souls, and may our young people hear that glorious message in these days.